what would it take for you to yell at someone at work for farting? Like, it would either have to be really loud or really, or
they would have had to literally take their butt and put it in my face and fart.
Yeah, no, no, it's just like, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm a guy and she's a girl, and I'm just kind of like, yeah, you know what, like, sometimes the human body makes those sounds. So we're doing socialism tonight. So here's the thing, what's that sound?
Liv is building a chair.
Oh, wow.
Liv is building a chair?
Well, it's like we got a chair. You just have to put it together.
Huh.
Oh, putting it together. Different than building, in my mind.
Well, you're talking, I was very impressed building. That she was building a chair.
Yeah, she could probably do that, too. She really, really wanted to.
Yeah, she really wanted to. she probably had the mental capability. Hey, so here's the thing about socialism. Do we disagree at all on this subject?
Yeah, that's the thing I was thinking of. I think it wouldn't be much of like a disagreement. It would just be more of like, I just feel like I think a lot about it. I don't think about socialism. I just think a lot about, like, you and I both see a lot of problems.
Who's you and I?
I know, Ben, you and I do.
What problems?
Like, we both see that there are people that have billions of dollars, and it's like you can't spend billions of dollars.
And wealth snowballs.
Yeah. And I also think I've been realizing, and I've been thinking about a lot of other things that, like, the, like, we, like, in a sense, okay, so, like, in a sense, we owe modern technology mostly to, like, socialism.
What?
Because this is what I mean. So, like, so communism is, like, the ultimate form of socialism, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, so assuming, let's say, since it's just the extreme form, let's say Germany was, like, socialist, it labeled Germany as socialist during World War II. Okay. And Germany's science division, like, their rocket division, their material science division, their, like, physics, like, every one of their science divisions is what spawned modern technology.
Wait, hold on. You're saying, are you using that as an example? Or are you saying
like, and then Germany, that's not even, I'm saying, like, the scientists in Germany during World War II made so many advances and did so much, like, discoveries and so much advancing that rocketry and space race and all of that came out of,
oh, wow, what
the scientists were doing in World War II.
So you're talking about those specific scientists?
I'm just talking about the government funded, like, the government being socialist decided that we are going to pour money into this.
I know, but you're talking about Germany is the reason why we have technology?
I mean, I wouldn't say all technology. That may be a little broad, a little dramatic, but there is a lot of technology. Like, we definitely would not be anywhere near where we're at if we did not have what scientists were doing for Germany in World War II. Like, I go look it up. The first ICBM was built by Germany during World War II.
Yeah, I mean, I know they had a lot of, like, advanced rocket technology.
Yeah.
Isn't the creator of NASA from a Nazi?
That's what I was
kinda, I don't know about the, I don't know about the creator, but whenever World War II ended, America welcomed all the scientists from Germany.
Operation, like, Paperclip.
Yes. Yeah, that's what they called it.
Werner von Braun. Let me look into this guy real quick.
But, like, so then, like, in my head, so, like, socialism in Germany in that time was what allowed them to fund such research and, like, so much advancement. And that's not even, it didn't even end there. Like, NASA over the last, like, 15 years, they spent buco dollars in research into things that aren't profitable. Like, it's things that, like, a government, only a government can do. Like, we wouldn't have the technology to really go into space if it wasn't for all the money that NASA had poured into research into technologies.
Yeah.
Do you think it's anything to do with war and how technology increases in war, and it's not about socialism? I feel like that's your,
yeah, but no, but factor. That's where, like, the example of NASA would counteract that argument, because NASA wasn't at war.
Yeah, but we were in the space race.
No, I'm saying the last 20 years.
Right. There's nothing to push for right now. Like, what are they pushing for?
That's why
they're not pushing to go to the moon.
They pushed
to figure out how to go to the moon.
they push to understand different rocket systems, to understand different materials and different ways about going, the problems that they're encountering trying to get to space.
Right. But what you're saying about rockets is that, like, we built a rocket, went to space in, like, a quick amount of time. But that's not as hard of technology as what we're trying to do now. So it's taking longer.
I mean,
I don't understand how socialism has anything to do with it.
What I'm trying to say is that the connection I'm seeing between socialism and what I'm saying is that sometimes technology is not going to be financially beneficial to research. But to get to the future, you have to get that technology.
Right. You're saying sometimes a government needs to come in, take control of it, and just kind of like carry us to a certain point and then let us go.
Exactly. Like, because there's a lot of times that technology is like, is it going to be beneficial for me to research something that's going to yield $0?
I understand. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Well, two things. Number one, I don't think NASA is doing like anything.
They're acting right. I think the role they're going into more now is like what I said, researching things that no company's going to do. And on top of that, being the mediator between the government's space needs and private contractors.
What are the government's space needs? I wish NASA just space had
defense is the biggest one right now.
Okay, so I mean this is a completely different topic, but like, also I hate that I say but like, I was listening to our podcast and I say but like so often. please interrupt me. And tell me if I say it.
All right, I will.
So, this is another topic, and we can shut this down and return to socialism because I have a few, I have some thoughts there. But my question is, should the government be funding NASA? Should we be looking into space at all? Luke, what do you think?
I don't think it's no. I don't think that's the role of the government. I think, I don't know, SpaceX, Blue Origin, whatever.
Rocket Lab, Blue Origin, SpaceX. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think those companies are the ones that should be pushing for it. And if there's resources to be gotten out of it, it should be private companies that are going to be doing it. I don't see why they have to take tax dollars to pay for that.
Okay, so this is exactly where I was going to take the socialism conversation, is that I see space now as actually I think it needs to be very much controlled by the government.
What? Really?
Yeah. Say that again?
I think that space, like, I want private companies to be in space, of course, but I think it needs to be heavily regulated more than anything has ever been regulated before.
Why? Why space?
Because it's going to be so game changing that a lot is going to blow up in our face, I think, if it's not handled properly. Like, simple examples of like, if we just, like we've talked about before, Ben, like if there's an asteroid that has 50 megatons of gold, no company is going to just mine it and drive down the price of gold.
Oh, yeah. And Luke, you told me that. Like the UN thinks that should be split.
Yeah, which is dumb.
And so this is exactly what I'm saying would be so frustrating. So gold is almost double the electrical conductivity of copper I think copper is the next one. Or no, thermal conductivity I'm thinking of. Like gold is one of the best things to transmit heat. So if we could take one of those and put it into our air conditioners, our conditioners would get better by almost like a factor of 10, more efficient. But if companies are not willing to mine an asteroid of gold and drive down the price to where it becomes actually like an option to build air conditioners out of gold, then it's never going to, that technology is never going to reach and the technology is never going to happen. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I kind of see what you're saying. Hold on, real quick. I want to circle back to this socialism thing. Here's my question. If America became a socialist nation, which it might, that's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
Right?
I used to think it was, but I don't think it is either. I think it would suck. It would really suck, though.
Would it? I mean, yeah. No, I think it would.
I think extreme socialism, though.
I'm kind of playing devil's advocate here, but I just feel like we would definitely have less money. We would definitely be poorer, I feel like.
You mean as a country, or you're talking about me and you?
I feel like as a country and just the three of us, I think we would just have, you know, we would probably just have less money. Because, I mean, you know, if we have to pay like 50% of everything in taxes, then, you know, I don't know. I've never been to a socialist, like Denmark, I think, is the great example.
My dad rants and raves all the time about his time in, maybe it was Denmark, but he traveled around Europe when he graduated college. And anytime that we ever talk about this topic, he always brings up what he saw and experienced in Europe when he was, because he was went through a socialist country, and he always talks about how when he was there, the people he met and the things he saw, that it was people had no drive, had no determination, they had no grit. They were just very like, I get my monthly stipend and I'm going to go to the bar and buy some groceries and do whatever. And like, it was just
that sounds awesome. Bro.
No, I think that's like what I was trying to say the last podcast, where it's like, that's the one thing I like about America is that we have this grit. I don't think we have enough of it. Like, we have this like get things done, but I don't think we have enough of it even. And I feel like socialism would drive us in the opposite direction that I was trying to say.
Yeah, we definitely disagreed on that point.
Oh yeah. Here's the thing about
America.
It's all right. I get it.
No, go, Luke. Go, go, go.
Before I interrupt you again.
America being socialist is that America's too big, like land-wise. Like, there's not enough. I was just talking about this the other day with someone. So the reason that America came, like the settlers first came from England to America, is because all of the previous countries have been people working for the kingdom or the palace or the government. But when they came to America, it was a government working for the people. And so when you bring socialism into it, it's the people again working for the government, so then the government can give out instead of the government working for the people and hearing their voice. And the reason why it kind of works in Denmark and it kind of works in small sections in Europe is because they're all the same demographic. They're basically all white and they're kind of all related. And you can walk across the street and be like, hey, you need to go to work right now. But the problem with America is that there's so many languages. We're all melting pot. We're all different demographics. So like, I'm not going to go across my neighbor and tell him to go to work because I don't know who they are. But like, if you're in a smaller country, European country, you know everybody. So for instance, Olivia's friend is from the Faroe Islands, which is subsect of Denmark, and they're socialist country. They get taxed like 50% or something. But they know everybody. And if Joe's up the street drinking at the bar during the middle of the day, like, the townspeople are going to go to him and be like, you need to go to work right now. So there's no, it's just too big of a country to do that in America. Yeah.
Yeah, you're talking about like the accountability of each other.
Yeah, there's no accountability, and it just doesn't. It won't work here because it was founded on the premise of like the theory of the invisible hand, which means that like humans' greed will automatically take the best. Like, we will be the best if we are greedy. So if man can work for themselves rather than for other people, they're going to get the most done. Yeah, that's kind of how human nature works.
See, but I don't. Okay, so like, I agree with what you're saying. But the thing that I am thinking of more when I think of socialism is a system where the government is not making the people work for them, but the government's still working for the people, but it's more of like a controlled guidance.
Yeah, but I don't want the government to control anything.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I hate the government so much. And I hate saying these things. But I feel like, I don't know. I don't know what is up with the semester, but I just feel like I'm seeing so many things and I'm getting really affected by them.
Yeah. So can you kind of explore that? Like, you mentioned you wanted to do socialism and that you had been thinking about it. So can you kind of get into a little bit why you've been thinking about it? Is it because of all my Andrew Yang panda?
No, it really hasn't been any of that. It's been a mix of doing, I've been super loving researching like science, not science, I love science always, but like space exploration technologies and events that are going on. That's a big one. Another one is I'm in this class.
Hold on. What does that have to do anything with socialism?
Because I'm, this is my thought process when I say that. So when I've been like looking into space and like seeing all these technologies and things that are going on and like hearing people talk about Mars, there's all of these like great, there's all these amazing opportunities that are in space that are right at our fingertips, huge applications. But the thing as I'm continuing the thought process of thinking about asteroids and planets and all these cool things that could happen in space, I think of how so many companies are going to exploit these things, and they're going to use them like in ways that is going to be harmful.
Hmm.
And so I was thinking, I was like, there's like, and the only thing I can think of is this, like, the government's got to regulate it or like do something to control it. That's not going, like, that's going to be for the betterment of the economy or for people.
Any, like, if you see any sort of new advancement in technology, like for instance, railroads, when that technology first came out, there was definitely a monopoly on those things. Yeah. And then right now with data analytics is our next computer. Like that's mm-hmm. our next thing. And Facebook and Google are kind of like above the government that way. So I get that. It's just hard to, I don't really want the government, I don't know, like trying to decide what people can do. Cause that limit, that stipends technology and,
okay,
if the government's going to take 50% or 80% of what you're going to do in space, companies won't want to go.
Okay, but this is what I'm saying, though. Like, do you want the government to tell companies that they can't emit, like, pure coal exhaust into the air and then, like, have smog covering St. Louis? Like, do you want the government to regulate the companies for that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay, so I'm thinking it's like the exact same thing for everything else I'm thinking of. Is that it's not like they're not making the people work for them. They're just guiding people in the right direction.
No, I agree. But that's not really socialism necessarily. That's just
regulation.
Yeah, that's just regulation, which is
like, really, I definitely agree there should be regulation for like banks and stuff because of the crash of 2008.
Banks specifically.
Yeah, because they suck.
They need, like, trust me, I work at a bank, and they just need to be.
You work at the worst bank, too.
Yeah, they just need to be regulated very heavily, like, everything they do. Like, people should not be making that much money at a bank, like, because it should be regulated so heavily.
Do you think, so like, when I think of bank problems, I think of that problem where, like, if a poor person comes into the bank, they're going to only show them poor person homes.
What?
Like, if a person comes into the bank and they're Middle Eastern, they're only going to show them houses in the Middle Eastern part of town.
Okay.
Not sure. That's illegal.
Yes, but it happens still. Like, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
And it's even, like, even in neighborhoods. If, like, If a Middle Eastern family moves into a neighborhood and a ton of Middle Eastern people move into a neighborhood, the values of the houses start going down.
Huh.
That's not true.
It happens with black people.
Yeah,
but that's not Middle Eastern people.
Yeah, but it happens with black people.
It's not black people. It's like that would happen the same with like a white person, like white trash.
No. It was happening to black people specifically in Baltimore.
I'm trying to not be racist, so.
But it's racist to deny racism.
I'm not denying racism. I'm just saying it also happens to white people.
What is this episode? Is this episode 3? Just title it "Luke's a Racist."
This was all I was saying.
Why are you booing me? I'm right.
Yes, Steven, whatever you're saying, you need to say it, and you need to say it quickly and more concise.
Yeah, because I have no idea what you're saying.
What's
all you've said thus far is Middle Eastern people move into a city and then the price drops.
This was all I was saying. You guys are talking about how banks need to be regulated. And I was like, I'm gonna say, what do you think about like regulating that issue, regulating social issues like that?
Yeah. So
I don't think there's a real fix for those. Like the issue of why do Bosnian people form in one specific area in St. Louis? I don't think there's a fix for that. Bosnian people like being around Bosnian people.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's the same concept as like billionaires only know other billionaires.
Well, no, that's not true, but right.
I'm confused.
Are we talking about regulating?
I'm saying that. Do you think? Okay, this is what I was getting at. Do you think there's an answer then for social issues? Like I was thinking, government regulating it is an answer, but I don't think that's an answer. Do you think there's an answer for the social? What I'm saying.
So the government can't. The government cannot impact social issues as long as it's not making like segregation legal or stuff like that. You know?
Yeah, which is exactly what I'm saying. Is like there's always going to be the bad, poor parts of towns. Always. It's never going to be not a problem.
Right.
There's no fix to that. There's poor, there's rich. That's how life is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but the question is, can you make it less extreme on either ends of the spectrum?
Yeah.
So I'm fine with there being poor and rich, but I have an issue if it's extreme wealth and just incredible poverty. That's when I kind of have to take an issue of it. And yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of interesting. I don't know. Like,
do you think God told us to take care of the poor for both the morality and for like social benefit, like a social structure benefit, like economic benefit,
or in the 1970s, the church or the government started overstepping the church boundaries and started doing like a lot of outreach for poor people instead of the churches, and that's when the churches kind of lost their grip on a lot of social issues when they, for instance. In James, it says, like, this is true religion, that you take care of the orphan and the widow.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like the government took that position of the church, and the church is actually really weak at it now. So it's like we don't really have a lot of food banks anymore. We're not really taking care of a lot of the orphans. So if you break it all down, I think all that stuff, social issues like that stuff, should be privatized and not government.
Man, there really aren't a lot of like homeless shelters and orphanages.
Yes.
You know, like compared to all the things that we spend money on.
Because we're killing our babies.
No. I'm talking about the Christian church. Calm down there, boomer. I'm talking about just like the American church. Like, I don't see that.
Like someone will go to a different country and start a private orphanage and get funding for it. But in America, all of our adoption agencies and our
state
foster kids are all government funded. And so, because a lot of people just look to those for like checks every month to get money for fostering a kid or something.
Wow.
Or adopting a kid.
Wow.
And so there's not a lot of programs in like orphanages that are for not, you know what I'm saying?
I understand. So here's the thing. You know, the reason why I thought this was kind of an interesting topic is that I'm pretty sure that sometime in our lifetime, America is going to be fairly democratic socialist. And
I
think
it will be more than it is right now. It's definitely tending towards that.
It's definitely trending towards that. You're right. Yeah, I agree with you. And I just think it's interesting. You know, one of the purposes of this podcast is, as a bit of a time capsule. And, you know, so right now it is November 20th, 2019, and it's just going to be interesting to listen back in like 10 years and hear like, you know, where we are now. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. And
I think we'll have a war.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I think we're going to have a civil war.
We could.
I don't think so.
I think we could have a civil war for sure.
I don't think so.
I think so too. It's happened before. That this is something that people always deny. people always talk about civil wars and they shut it down because they say it can never happen. But it's happened in our history, and it's a fairly common event.
It's happening at probably like 4 countries right now. I'm not sure of that, but
this is where I could see a civil war happening. If the economy goes complete bottoms up.
Yeah.
Then I could see it happening. Because if people still have money, they're really not going to be that upset. They're not going to be that mad about whatever's going on.
Correct.
I think that they will be. I don't know, man. Like, there's a lot. What's happening in Portland? Like, what is it called?
Proud Boys.
No, Portland, Antifa. Oregon. Antifa stuff is pretty civil war-ish.
Yeah.
Like, that's violent stuff. The stuff that happened in Ferguson. Like, if there's a lot more of that stuff going on, or like, and Trump gets reelected and that stuff happens, like, I think there could be some issues. Or if they try and take our guns away.
Do you know how much it takes to start a civil war, dude?
Yeah, a lot. But like, this country right now is very, very segregated.
Here's the only way it would happen is if you could divide the National Guard. If you could divide the National Guard to the point where the National Guard's willing to disobey their overseeing officer. Oh, they have a big enough issue that they're willing to do that, which I don't see anywhere in the present or future.
I don't know. I feel like it's split. We're very segregated.
I'm with you, Luke.
I don't know. Like, California is the opposite of Texas.
Yeah.
100%. And New York, too. Like, you can't carry a gun in New York City.
Yeah, but I feel like it's always been that way.
Illegal. Like, no,
it hasn't.
Not like this, man. Like, everyone think, like, it's pretty bad.
Like, yeah, think about this. There was a time where some states were giving, like, after the Civil War, there was times where some states were lynching African Americans and then other states were giving them jobs.
Right. There are some states in which they're killing babies at 9 months. In some states where there aren't.
Fair.
And there's some states right now that are complete racist and some states that aren't.
Yeah, who's complete racist?
I mean, a lot of Jefferson County is pretty racist.
Oh, dude,
I see a lot of it. A lot of Confederate flags flying.
That's everywhere, though.
I know, but there's a lot of subsets of that. And then there, if you go to, like, a lot of neighborhoods in St. Louis, like South City, it's like all Black Lives Matter.
Well, they hate white. Some of those people down there hate white people.
Well, I know, and a lot of people hate black people.
Everybody hates each other.
That's true.
That's what I'm saying, is that I wouldn't be surprised if there's some sort of civil war.
No, see, this is what I see happening. I see more what's going to happen and what's going to turn into socialism is that there's, like, I think the climate change is going to hit really hard. One, I don't know, some huge event, let's say. Let's say, like, hail the size of BMWs.
That sounds like the end times.
Yeah. No. Steven, do you think climate change is real?
Yes.
This is the more interesting subject. Interesting. You think it's real?
Yes, I think it's 100% real.
As serious as Greta Thunberg?
I think that I hate Greta. Saying it's real.
How
because it's
dare
so
you?
Fun. I hate saying it's real.
How dare you?
I hate saying it's real because there are so many people and that are like whistleblowers and like crazy like political figures that are just like they're just being really kind of ridiculous about it. I'm only looking at it from I've seen some data that is very interesting data, and I have thought about it a lot in my own brain, and I think that it's definitely real.
Yeah, but have you thought about it in my brain?
Nope.
Hold on, guys. We need to stop thinking in our own brains and actually research it.
But we've seen the data. I've seen
The data I looked at, it was data.
Wait, the data or the data? Because I've seen the data, but I haven't seen the data.
It was how much carbon monoxide per like billion particles or whatever, and it graphed it, and it was like...
You have to be specific.
It was carbon monoxide.
You can't just serve...
I'm pretty sure it's carbon
graphs.
I'm pretty sure it's carbon.
Expect me to understand.
But the thing is it's cyclical. So like it's not like a linear trend of up. Because in summer, it's down. In the winter, it's up. It's like it's just
more, It's not carbon monoxide, because that will kill us. It's carbon dioxide that's rising, and it's actually making our planet more green. Look it up.
But the carbon monoxide is also generated whenever you've got forest fires and you've got some other source. The main source from industry is carbon dioxide. There's other events that create carbon monoxide. Anyway, all I'm saying is that there is, think of just the word, the name, climate change. The thing that's changing, the thing that's happening is that the ocean is rising in different, in its acidic level.
It always has, though.
No, yeah, I'm with you, Steven. I'm with you.
So, and I'm saying that, like, the, like, I'm just saying, I'm not even saying, like, I think it's negative, but I'm not even saying it's negative. I'm not saying for a fact it's negative. All I'm saying when I say I believe in climate change is the climate is changing. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
There you go. See, so you believe in climate change.
Yeah, but not what they're saying.
Exactly. I don't either. I don't know. There's so many facts. I don't know who to believe. All I know.
Okay, you're sneaking me here, because climate change is real, but at the level that it's changing.
But the thing that's
the thing that when you say I believe 100% in climate change, you make me think that the world is dying.
That's what I was trying to explain. I said I don't agree with the whistleblowers and the political figures. I said that.
Okay, well, you said that carbon monoxide was increasing. It sounded like death.
It is. So I said I think it's negative. Like, I believe the climate is changing in a negative manner. I don't think the way it's changing is a way that it's most optimal, best environment.
Do you think that when Jesus, like when the world gets set on fire after the...
Hold on. Sorry. I just wasn't done with my thought.
All right. This is a part of your thought.
I know. It isn't or is?
It is.
All right. Keep going. Hold on. Let me write down my thought while you're talking.
That our climate change, that it's going to get so severe that, like, these forest fires in California, that's how the earth is going to, like, get burned?
I think climate change is... is going to be a big part of explaining the revelation events.
Why are Christians automatically against climate change?
That's a great question.
Because
here's what it is.
Christian does not equal Republican, and I hate that people think it does.
The thing is that in the 80s. There was a big swing toward in the conservative party towards, like, traditional family values that a lot of Christians agree with. Honestly, I feel like the whole climate change thing might just be a money thing.
Oh, it's huge money. No, for sure.
That's why your mom, Steven's mom, thing. Wants to kill people, right? Not kill people, but
it's not the same thing, but it's very similar to cancer research. It's a
huge. I've heard that cancer is cured. Have you heard that?
That cancer's cured?
Yeah, and they're just holding out because they make billions of dollars.
I don't believe that. I understand where the thought process is coming from, because they do make billions of dollars, but it has not been cured. If you cure cancer, you basically will cure death.
Yeah.
But it's a huge money grab. Okay. First, I want to bring up my point, and then we can continue talking about why Christians don't want to believe climate change. My point I was trying to make, all I was trying to say is that what I see for the future, after you talked about civil revolution that's going to happen, whatever, I don't think a revolution, civil war is going to happen. I just think whenever climate change or whatever happens in the future happens, it already climate change is reflecting bad on businesses. So whenever in the future it becomes fact and in the future whatever happens, it's already reflecting bad on companies, because companies are denying it. Companies are doing all this bad stuff. And so whenever it does become a fact, the companies are going to be the ones that's going to try and defend themselves, even though they've for years been saying it's not a problem and they've been trying to just make money. That's where I feel like it's going to change to socialism, because people are going to want to stand up to companies. And the only best way to stand up to companies is to give the money and power back to the government. Anyway, so back to – that's what I was trying to say, is how I see the future going, not as a civil war, but as that shift to a socialist socialism. Back to – okay, so we were talking about why Christians don't believe in the war or whatever, climate change.
So back to I'm confused by your whole point. Can you
read No.
You get it, Ben?
I am.
Yeah, I do.
Ben, explain it then to Luke.
Okay. Hold on. Let me kind of...
Basically, this is it. Luke, do you think that global warming reflects bad on businesses?
Like, yes.
Yes, okay. And all I'm saying is that when/if climate change becomes absolute fact, companies are going to take the downfall and people are going to want the companies to get less, like people are going to retaliate to that negativity with wanting to give the government more power and money. That's all I'm saying.
Yes. Okay.
That's the shift to socialism. That's the incentive. Yeah. That's how I see it.
Okay. Interesting, actually. I have two things. All right, ready? So America cut their carbon footprint by a lot over the past few years, like a lot,
mm-hmm.
like 12%. China sucks at climate change.
Yeah, they're going through an industrial revolution.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying they suck, and no one, Greta Thunberg, isn't sailing over there to tell them. Anyway.
Good point, Luke.
Thank you. My next thing.
He said that like two podcasts ago.
That doesn't mean it's still a good point.
Good point, Luke.
I can say it twice. And my second point is, I think we should talk about this because it talks about climate change. I want to actually learn about evolution and not from my youth pastor.
You want to learn about it scientifically?
Luke, Bethel has been putting on an evolution thing every Wednesday.
Well, I've been out of town.
What do you want to? What is your interest?
No, interest is that I definitely think microevolution is real.
Okay.
For instance, the animals do adapt over time, but they don't change species. You know. But like the interesting thing, I know some people that believe Genesis is guided by evolution. You know, stuff like that. So I think that stuff would be interesting.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
Guided by evolution.
I agree.
And that, like, the human race is actually not that old, but, like, the Earth is really old. Stuff like that.
I mean, would you guys want to do, like, a book club? Like, would you guys want to read a book on evolution and then, you know, we can discuss it periodically on the podcast?
I would. Yeah, I would like that. Also, I'd like to, like,
maybe when I graduate, I've read one book about it. And
yeah,
my conclusion is that I don't know.
You know what I'm saying, Ben?
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. And for a while there, I was really interested in it too. And then I collected, you know, I found out all these books that I thought laid out a couple different points well. From a Christian perspective. And then I just got exhausted and just overwhelmed. Because the reality is, like, when I came home from work, I don't feel like reading a book on evolution. I'm just not there yet. But I could be.
Yeah.
I would need to do it for a reason, though.
This is my view of it. This is the thing. Wait, Luke, hold on. Explain it again what your interest is and where you're coming from, why you're interested.
I've just always grown up that, let me think.
That evolution is wrong, basically.
So, well, just like all of Genesis is 100% how it reads.
7 days, that's it.
Yes, but there's a lot of people out there that believe Genesis is different. And I kind of want to know why. And for instance, when we were on the porch at Turkey Hill, we were talking about the Silmarillion, you know, not Silmarillion. That's not anything. That's Lord of the Rings stuff. We were talking about the,
it's the loyal and the demon. Wardrobe thing. Anyway, continue.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. The demon in the women that fought the angels coming down, sleeping with the daughters.
Nephilim.
That's it. Like when we went on that porch and we were talking to like full-time staffer about it, and he just immediately shot it down. Same with my dad, stuff like that.
They're just like, I don't know.
Yeah, and they don't like, they're just like, that's not true, just ignore it. But I think there's a lot of stuff to that in like the book of Elijah. It's like a lot of interesting stuff that I don't know. I never really like researched, and I've always just told that it was pretty stupid to think about.
Yeah, I have talked to people on both sides that are strongly and well learned on both sides, and I think there's an answer, and I'm sure you can come to one, but I see both sides, and I, at this point in my life and walk, I don't know which one is true. I see both.
I just want to learn both sides, you know.
Yeah, this is where, when I think about it, I have like three foundational blocks that I really have like learned when I think about it, that's really helped me think about it. And the first one is that we all believe and know that God started it. Either he's the Big Bang or he's just the man speaking into 7 days. That's God, either way. And then my second stone that I think of when I think about everything is that he did it out of love, and he created all of creation not just to like be an experiment, and is like, it was a very emotional, intentional thing that he created for a very specific order in a very specific way. He's a God of order, and he's a God of love, and he's a God of peace. So he created the world reflecting his characteristics, and everything like that sin that's messed it up is us. So in all of creation, that's how I think about it. I don't know if it started a billion years ago, if he created it like it's a billion years old, or he created it in 7 days and carbon dating's a hoax. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, the thing is that there are lots of good books written on this topic, and
I read a book.
I don't know how deep your research was, Stephen.
I read this book once called Darwin's Black Box, and this was the main. What did you say?
Is it by Stephen Meyer?
Maybe. I read it in high school. I don't ever pay attention to authors, but it was called Darwin's Black Box. And I had to write a paper on it. And I remember the coolest idea that came out of it. It was very against evolution. And the coolest idea that I learned from it was that there's this idea that there's no way a frog can develop the organs to become an entirely different animal, because it's like developing the eyeball. Okay, so like take an eye. I think it used an eyeball. If you have an eyeball and you have everything except the lens, because you haven't evolutionized to that point yet, you're just going to die. You can't see without your eyeball lens. Like, you need it to see. So there's this like point where it would have had to go from one thing to another to get the parts. It would have to instantaneously go through evolution to live.
Huh.
It's like taking a mouse trap and remove the spring. You can't.
Right.
Like, there's no transition. It's, you just need it right then, or you die.
Right. Yeah, so it was written by Michael Behe, Behe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I don't know. There's definitely a lot of cool ideas. But I feel like this is just, I mean, this is a really deep topic that we should either, you know, if we want to do it, we should do it like next week or something like that. Or have something, I don't know. We are covering all the heavy issues, though.
I feel like this is what we do when we don't have a topic, really, a strong topic. We just kind of talk about whatever comes up, which is, I like it.
Yeah, no, it is cool. It's just a lot.
I think it's fun for us, probably not that enjoyable for listeners.
Who cares?
Screw the listeners.
Screw the listeners.
Yeah, screw you, whoever's listening.
Yeah, screw you, Johnny.
Even though they're only our loved ones and friends.
I was but you suck butt.
I was actually thinking about Johnny. I miss him.
Yeah, Johnny's great.
I told him about our podcast, and he listened to an episode.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to tell you guys a cool story that happened to me. Did I tell you, Ben, about me going to the bar?
No.
Okay, so let me tell you this cool story. What happened was this. At the beginning of the semester, I was like, man, I really want to get into like a ministry while I'm here in Rolla, and I really want to like just talk to more people about how much I love Jesus and like give them the gospel, like show them that Jesus loves them, and the love that he showed to them. And so like I was praying that at the beginning of the semester, and there, so like I started studying with this one guy, Ryan, And it was really cool. Like, he brought up Bible one day and we like started talking about it. And we talked about it for like 2 hours and I like talked to him about the gospel. And he was really interested and he didn't seem to really understand anything about the Bible. So it was really cool conversation. So I got to tell him all about like Jesus, and like he asked a lot about the Old Testament, and like, because he at the beginning of it, he was like basically just saying like he looks at church as like it makes him feel good. It's an experience. And so I was like trying to explain to him that's not what it is. And then this other friend that I've known for a while when I moved, came down to Rolla, Sebastian, I've been studying with him for a long time, but he finally started talking about, he's talked about the, I think I asked him about, anyway, I asked him or talked to him about church in the Bible. And then that was a good conversation, but he has been to church his whole life, but doesn't really care about it. So I tried to like, I got, but I felt good. Like I felt like I communicated that Christ loved him really well in the conversation, which is that. So both of these, I was like, wow, this is great. Like, I've had multiple conversations with these people and it's been great. And then the thing is, I wanted to have been hanging out with them like outside of just studying so I can have like an actual friendship with them. And they've invited me a couple times to bars with them, but I've always been kind of busy. And so I've just been like, eh. And it's like, I don't know. So then they invited me the other night and I was like, you know, I could invite them, but I don't really do anything. And like, I've been wanting to hang out with them like one-on-one anyway. So like, I'll just go and I'll hang out with them. And I go, and then there was another friend that I had that I had seen at Catalyst, which is another Christian organization thing that's on campus. And I'd seen this guy that I saw at the bar at Catalyst. And he was like, he came over to me and was like, hey, Steven, what's up? And I was like, hey, not much. And then I told him that I saw him at Catalyst. And then when I told him I saw him at Catalyst, he just like kind of poured out this whole like, yeah, I've been like really interested in like what, like in the Bible. And like, I've been like kind of like searching for like something like what it's all about and like what's going on. And so then I had like an hour long conversation with him about like what the Bible means. And I was like, this is so crazy. Like, I don't know. It was just cool because it was like I prayed for this specific thing. Like, and I felt like I was getting to tell people about how much Christ loves us. So it's just been really great and really encouraging this semester to see that.
Well, that's cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a really important part of our faith, sharing. Yeah. You know, and witnessing to people.
It was just really cool because like while I was at the bar with them, I was kind of just like, I'm having fun, like I'm hanging out with these guys, they're cool, but like I felt like a little uncomfortable. I was like, people were drunk all around me and like girls were like moving on guys, and like it wasn't like a super horrible bar scene. It was just like, it was a bar, and I was like, should I be here? I wasn't like super uncomfortable, but I was just like debating like,
right,
here. But then once that happened, I was just like ecstatic, and I was like, I love being here. Like, I'm among sinners and they all need Jesus.
Yeah, that's cool.
You have to go out of the world not to encounter that stuff.
Yeah, I had someone explain it to me. It's like if the world is drowning in a pool, you don't want to get into the pool, you'll drown also, but you also can't be over in your own pool swimming. Like, you can't be in your church with the word swimming and okay and like trying to yell over to the other pool while they're drowning, like, hey, get out of the pool, come over here. Like, well, you actually have to try and like go actually try and help them do something.
Yeah, well, that's a good thought, but to save someone who's drowning in a pool, you definitely jump in that pool to save them.
No, you don't jump in the pool, man. Don't do that.
No, you do.
That's what lifeguards do.
Yeah, no, when you have a floaty, but like, no, the not been, you didn't learn this in life, in like lifeguarding whenever you were in Boy Scouts?
Yeah.
They said never go to the person that's drowning. Throw them something or give them something to grab onto.
Yeah, or you go to them.
They'll push you under. They're drowning.
They taught us how to get around that. They didn't teach you. They taught me.
He's lying.
Yeah, no, I think it's cool. Man, I'm just thinking about. So I was thinking about how bad our podcast may seem to be, because I don't have an accurate like judgment of it. But I was just thinking like, it could be pretty bad. But then I was thinking, you know, but in a year or two, if we keep getting better at this, it could be good. We just have to keep it up, and we just have to push through the beginning phases. So I don't know.
Yes.
Just a little word of encouragement to you boys.
Yes, agree. I do.
But I thought that segment idea was, Steven, do you want to do that next week?
For what?
The segment idea. Like go through like interesting things that happened during the week.
Okay. Ha. Suck it. I'm on a red cross. It says, if you are untrained, there is no important mantra you need to remember. Just to reach, throw, row, but don't go.
Yeah, if you're untrained.
Okay, but that's saying like I don't think you're trained, Ben, in the way.
Excuse me?
I don't think so.
Excuse me?
I don't think, Ben, I've been through the training and I don't think I'm trained.
Okay, well, speak for yourself. Well, here's the thing. Why don't you drown and I'll come save you and prove it?
Yeah, and I'll freaking push you under and I'll kill you.
No, you won't.
I'm drowning. I'm going to try and get any way out of the water.
No, you won't.
Ben, I've been in a drowning situation before. I know what it's like. All you want is to get up. You don't care.
Yeah. No, I know. You're about, yeah, I know. I know. Honestly, it's been so long since Boy Scouts. I don't really remember.
What do you guys think about pride? How do you see it in yourself?
Okay, well, come on. I said I wanted to get off at 10.
You got 2 minutes, Ben. 2 minutes to explain how you see pride in yourself. I've been thinking, actually, Ben, I don't think you're super prideful. Sometimes I think you might be.
No, so here's the thing. I struggle with it on both ends. Like, pride. Pride is a huge issue, both being too prideful. But, like, being too prideful could also be you're really arrogant or you think way too much of what other people think of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's also pride. And so I do think that I really, really struggle with it. And it's probably one of the bigger sins. It's probably one of the bigger idols of my life, pride. And I don't exactly know how to work through that.
So I don't think, like, when I think of you, Ben, I don't think, like, you're this super prideful person. But I have been thinking about you in relation to pride a lot lately, just off one event that happened. So it's like a micro.
What's the event?
So when we were at Halia's house that one day and you, like, we were talking about who's best at who, like, you're better than one, than, you know, whoever doing something, you know what I'm talking about? Choose one thing that you're better than everybody in the room then. And I remember I said something, I think I said whistling or no, I said something. I don't remember what it was. It wasn't whistling, but I said something and immediately you like defended yourself and you're like, hey, I'm better. I'm better. And then afterwards you're like, I don't know why I'm arguing about this. And then later on, when I was back here in Raleigh, I was thinking about it for some reason. And I was like, why was he defending himself? That was the dumbest thing to defend himself for. And I was like, maybe it was just like pride. Like Ben's like, I don't want to think that I'm not as good as him or something.
Yeah, I mean, that'd probably be pride.
I don't know. I wasn't thinking you're super prideful. I was just thinking like, that's like an example of pride. But like Nate said, when you see a sin in someone else, look at your own life. So it helped me see more pride in my own life. So.
Yeah, but like
sometimes.
Go.
Sometimes I think that I look pretty good in the mirror, like I'm getting more fit, and then I go to try and close in a dressing room, and then I realize that I'm still really fat. Do you ever have that?
No, being fat for me hasn't been a big deal. I've been fat. I've been skinny. I don't really care.
Has that ever happened to you? You're like, I feel pretty skinny today. And then you go into a dressing room, you try on a shirt, and you're like, oh, no, I'm not. That never happens.
This seems more like vanity, self-confidence issues.
It's pride.
Yeah.
Pride to think you look good, and then you don't.
I do sometimes think I look good. Like not lately, because I have freaking long hair and a beard. But I do sometimes look in the mirror, and I'm like,
one thing I will say is that I feel like I accomplished, like, a lot of things. Using pride. So, like, I'm just thinking back to, like, all these, like, you know, spending hours upon hours in the weight room. Like, it was a positive result, but the reason why I did that was because of pride. Mm-hmm. And, like, trying to strike that balance, like, to get those results without the pride has been difficult. I will say that. But... Yeah, but boys, I think
you guys need to hear a great story before you go.
Better hurry up. Ben's already one minute over.
All right. So I work, you know, on the weekends for Tim, and I'm like merch manager, so I sell a bunch of merch. So I have volunteers. And this week's volunteers, it was actually two weekends ago. I had a volunteer who had a like a cast on her shoulder or like a sling, so she couldn't move her right arm. And at the end of the night, we always clean up, you know. And she came over and was like, "Hey, is there anything you can do? I can only use one of my arms." And she continues and says, "I can only do one hand job." Actually, like she actually said that.
Should I leave that in the podcast or take that out?
No, leave it in.
And then I punched her other arm and I said, "No, I'm already giving you a free t-shirt."
That's funny.
Leave that in. All right, boys. Love you both. Right. Talk to you soon.
All right, love.
Bye. Oh, these boys. I love them. Oh, well, we're still here.